speaking to our hearts today on a call to worship.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It was good to be able to worship with all of you. It was good to it's good to see a lot of my friends here too. Jerome Moksi, Pastor and Mrs. Jerome, knew them for a long time. It's always good to see them, men of God. And I was very glad to see Mary Shem, JB and Kimbrough, hello. It was very good to see all of you. And before I share with you God's word, I want to briefly introduce our ministry to you. New Heart Ministries, New Heart Music Ministries, were established 10 years ago in 1997 in Houston. At that time, I was the music minister of Houston Chinese Church, and God has been doing a wonderful thing in our ministry. He brought a lot of musicians to our midst at that time, and a very amazing thing happened. Do you know if you put two musicians in one room, what would happen? They would fight. Because musicians are very subjective people, and they have very strong opinion. At that time, God has brought about 16 musicians, some professional, some amateur musicians, and we were able to love one another. And we know, unless the Spirit of the Lord is with us, this will not happen. So we come together and pray and fast and ask God whether He has His purpose in our lives. And then New Heart Music Ministries was formed at that time. And our mission is to usher people into the presence of the Lord through music. The reason why we picked the word new heart is because God said, I will put a new heart in them and put a new spirit in them. And we know unless God give us a new heart, we cannot sing a new song to the Lord. From the beginning until now, we have 8 full-time staff right now. Our office is in Willcrest. And we also have a lot of volunteers who come and serve with us. Our ministry mainly focuses on 3 aspects and 3 areas. The first one is we lead worship, we lead evangelistic meeting around different churches, some in Houston, some in the United States, and recently God took us to Asia and Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and in mainland China. We're using music just like this morning to bring people into the presence of the Lord. Second aspect, we believe not only we should continue to lead worship with music, but we want to mentor the next generation. As we have younger staff coming in, we see God is doing wonderful things in us. So we have a school in Houston teaching skills, but most importantly, we want to share our value and our heart with the new generation so that they would also continue to use music to glorify God. And the third aspect of our ministry is a ministry of publication. We write many new songs. This morning we share with you John's new song, and we love the songs he's writing. And then we put them in CDs. Right now we have 6 Mandarin worship albums, 4 Cantonese worship albums, 2 instrumental albums. And we are working on our first English album. John will be leading us in that area. We also publish a whole bunch of worship resources, hoping to help church to have resources to worship and praise the Lord. And we also spend a lot of time writing a series of worship manual, putting down into words what we have learned in the Lord. And from the beginning until now, our ministry will not grow to this point unless a lot of people pray for us. Every day, thousands of people all over the world praying for us, that we will follow heart after God's heart, and that we will be strengthened by Him to make eternal impact for His glory. So today we're very glad to be able to come and serve you, and we want to invite you to also join us and pray for us. And if God moves you, I want to donate and participate by financial giving. We want to thank you in the Lord, for He is pleased with your donation, with your contribution. This morning, I would like to share with you my life message. I thank the Lord because He gave me a message for my life. It's that He is pleased and He desires our worship. You know, all the ministry of our church will one day come to a stop. One day we would no longer need to preach the gospel because God, Jesus Christ, will come and take us home. And there is no more need for the preaching of the gospel. One day we will no longer do mission work because everyone is already believers in Christ. One day we will no longer have committee meeting because the Lord Jesus Christ will be guiding us and will be leading us. But yet there is one ministry that will go forever and ever, and it is the worship ministry. That we will worship the Lord from now until eternity. I have heard one pastor said, teaching people to worship is like teaching people to fall in love. Have you thought about it? It's impossible. How can you teach someone to fall in love? How can you teach someone to worship? But this morning, we want to come to God's Word and see how He instructs us to worship Him. What is a worship that pleases His heart? Today, we're going to read Psalm 95 together. And out of Psalm 95, we will discover a worship that the Lord pleases. This hymn, this psalm, is also called an invitation to worship. In Latin, it's called the Venite Psalm. That means come, come, come. The psalmists have given three invitations. The first one is in verse 1. He said, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. That's our first invitation. Second invitation in verse 6, he said, come, let us worship, bow down. Let us bow down and worship. Second invitation. And the third invitation is in the end of verse 7. He said, today, if you hear His voice, in another word is, come, let us hear His voice. Three invitations represents three different atmosphere in worship. It represents three different environment, three different actions of worship. So today, we're going to look at these three actions, and from now until eternity, every time we come to worship, we will remember this is what God is pleased with, the worship that has three different actions. So let's read verse 1 and 2 together. Let's read 1 and 2 together. Ready? Go. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. Here there is a very joyous environment, joyous atmosphere. Much like when we were clapping and sing, let every generation, much like when we sing, then sings my soul, how great is our God. This is the joyful and thankful song that the people of God is bringing to the Lord. Why are they so happy? The reason is in verses 3 to 5. Let's continue to read. Let's go. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. The reason why they are so happy is because the God of their life, the God that they are worshiping, is a great God. It's the God, it's the King that is above all gods. At that time, maybe there are people who is worshiping the God of the land, the God of the depths of the earth. But He's saying the depths of the earth are God's, are in His hand. Maybe there are people who are worshiping the mountain gods, but yet He says the mountain peak belongs to Him. The people who worship the sea, but He says the sea is His and the desert is here. God is the King above all kings, and that's why His people were rejoicing. His people is happy because God is their God. That's why they shout for joy to the Lord. That's why they sing for joy to the Lord. When they sing for joy, when they praise God, it means they are so proud that God is their God. Now, whenever I read the first verse, I have no problem, because I'm a professional singer. Come, sing for joy to the Lord. But yet, when I come to the second part of the first verse, let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Shout aloud. And I start to have a little bit of a problem with shout aloud. Do you have a problem with that? I have, because I was raised a very traditional Chinese male. Okay, for us, feelings should not be worn on the sleeves. We are not taught to be expressive. Now, am I talking to some of the men here that is the same way? Am I? I'm sure I'm talking to one of you, at least. So I tell God, I say, singing for you is no problem, but shouting. Can you find someone? I am very proper. You know, I don't have exuberant shout in front of people. But God taught me a lesson. I want to ask, how many Rockets fan are there here? Rockets fan. Okay, a lot. Okay, I'm in Rockets territory here. I'm a crazy Rockets fan. I have been following the Rockets since I arrived in this country, 1981. My relationship with the Rockets is a love-hate relationship. Okay? Why did I love them? Because they are actually not a bad team, right? Not a bad team. Always they would go to the semifinals, they would go to the finals. But why did I hate them? It's because they are always not quite there. They would always go to the most important game and they would lose by 1 or 2 points in the last seconds. Right? You remember those? Those games after they lost, like 3 months you cannot eat. You know, you lost your appetite. That's why I love them and I hate them. But yet I want to watch the Rockets game. In 1994, some of you may be too young to remember. 1994, what happened? It's the first, not the first time, but that year we went all the way to the finals, right? And we played New York Knicks for seven games. And that time was so tight. The games were so tight. We won one game and they came back for another game. I remember game seven. It was played in the Summit at that time. And that game was so tight. They were winning by one. We came back and win by two. And I, with a whole bunch of brothers, staying in one brother's house, and we were watching and we were cheering. And then we were so scared in a way. Finally, when it come to the last three seconds, and we were up by two. I don't know whether you remember that. We were up by two, and then but they have the control of the ball. Okay, they're going to pass the ball inbounds. So they call a timeout, and we were so scared. Because if history teaches anything, the scenario will be like this. That they would pass the ball to the best three-point shooter, and then when there are almost no time, he would jump up, shoot the ball, and the ball would go nothing but net, and we would lose by 1 point. So all of these brothers, we were so scared, and we huddled together, and we prayed for our team. You know, there was a spontaneous prayer meeting there. So scared. And finally, the ball was inbound. And sure, lo and behold, the best three-point player, John Starks, took the ball. And he was right outside of the three-point line. When there was almost no time left, he jumped up and he shot the ball. And at that time we say, Sailor, okay, okay. And we would say, no, I see, okay, Moantai. Okay, but we still were looking. And at that point, one of our teammates came out from nowhere. It was Olajuwon. And he came and blocked the ball out. There was no time left. We were winning by 2 points. Guess how we celebrate those bunch of guys, those traditional raised guys, okay? Those people who did not express the emotions. Do we say, praise the Lord, wonderful, they won? No, we were jumping up and down, yeah, we were screaming like madmen. One of my friends, he was rolling on the floor. He said, I'm so happy, I'm so happy, they finally did it. I was screaming like a madman too. And at that point, the Holy Spirit talked to me. He said, hey Ephraim, look at you. This Rockets team caused you to be so proud that you shout for joy, that you scream so loud for them. What about me, your God, the King above all gods, the God above all gods? Can't you shout for joy for me? Can't you shout for joy for me? And at that point, I have committed that whenever I come before the Lord, I will be expressive. I will shout for joy to Him. I will sing. I will shout. I would be undignified for Him because He deserves our whole worship. So especially our men, don't be emotionally constipated. Okay, sorry, you heard it right. Be expressive. The Lord deserves your expressiveness. So let's come and sing this song together. Shout to the Lord. And let us express our shout to Him. He's our Jesus, our Savior, our Comforter, our Shelter. Let's join the whole creation and shout to Him. That is our first action when we come before the Lord. Let's all stand and we sing Shout to the Lord.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing, mountains and majesty, to the King, mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's come before the Lord and sing for joy. My Jesus,
my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love.
My comfort, my shelter,
my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Oh, shout to the Lord of the earth, let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Our Lord, we applaud for you because you are a great God, and we sing for joy to you, and we shout aloud to you, for you are a great King, and you are the God above all gods. Teach us to worship, teach us to praise, and continue to release your word so that we may learn a heart of wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Just tell your neighbor, you have to praise the Lord. Okay? Tell your neighbor, have to praise the Lord. After this joyful invitation, the tone of the psalmist has changed. In Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, his tone has changed. From a very exuberant and joyous praise, his tone has changed to one of quietness. From a very exuberant outward appearance, it becomes a very quiet appearance. Very quiet. Let's read together verses 6 and 7. Let's go. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Here becomes very quiet. And the psalmist say, come, let us bow down in worship. When the Jewish people bow down, this is what they do. They will kneel before the Lord, and then with both of their hands, with the palm facing the ground, and they would prostrate fully before the Lord. Like this. This outward action also represents the inward humility they have before the Lord. The second action of worship is come and bow down in worship. Come before the Lord with humility. Come before the Lord with reverence. That when we come to the Lord, we need to know that He is the Creator God and we are the created. He is the Maker and we are His creation. He is our God and we are the people of His pasture. He is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We are the flock under His care. God and man are different. He is God and we are not. He is the great I am and we are His people. When we come before the Lord in worship, we come in humility and in reverence. Say, God is different than man. In Job, he says, if you go and ask the stars, the moon, the sun, if you go and ask all the living things on earth, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and if they can answer you, they will tell you who is their creator. But I think of all creation, only mankind, we have thought long and hard about leaving the control of our God. We want to be our own God. We want to be our own boss. We think we can control every aspect of our life. We think by our own strength, we can control our life and we can plan our life. But do you know, life and breath really comes from the Lord? Do you know our strength also comes from the Lord? And this is why the psalmist said, when the second action of worship, coming to worship, is humility, is reverence, is letting God be God, and letting ourselves be the follower of God, telling Him that unless you are willing, everything is in your hand. One time on a Wednesday, I have Wednesday day off. My day off is on Wednesday. I was kind of cleaning up my closets with my wife. We worked for an hour and a half, and I sneezed once. Okay, maybe it's because of the dust. I go, achoo! And then at that moment, there is severe pain coming from my back. And I was just stuck there. Cannot go up and cannot go down. I want to lie on the floor, but I cannot go down. I just feel this horrible pain. From my closet back into my room was about 5 steps distance. I was putting my hands on my wife's shoulder, and I was slowly moving back to my bed. It took me 10 minutes to finally go to the bed. Once I lie down, I know, oh no, it's a big problem. Because I can move all my limbs, okay, I can move all my limbs, but I cannot turn, okay, I cannot raise my head on the bed. And I was kind of like a turtle that was flipped, okay. Your limbs can move, but you just cannot flip back. And I was so worried because that weekend, I have a lot of services. I need to preach here. I need to lead a worship there. But I was lying there, cannot do a thing. Cannot do a thing. I have a very good friend who is a doctor. After he got off work, he come to my house to look at me. He kind of checked me physically. And then at that time, he gave me 4 painkillers, Vioxx, that they have banned right now. 4 Vioxx in a row. And I took it. After half an hour, nothing happened. Nothing happened. I'm still in pain. So after he looked at me, he say, "Hey, Ephraim, why don't you just lie there for a week? And if it doesn't get better, go to the emergency room. Go to the hospital." And I say, "Oh no, Dr. Kin." I say, "You got to do something. I have a preaching on Friday. I have Saturday training. I have Sunday. I have a lot of things to do. Could you do something for me?" And Dr. Kin look at me and say, "I don't think so. Why don't we do this? Let me lay hands on you and pray for you." You know, do you detect the humor in that? You know, the doctor laying hands for the pastor, okay, praying for me. But yet, his prayer really touched me. He said, "Lord, our lives is in your hand. Our strength, our hope is in you." And he prayed that God would heal me. God would give me strength so that I can serve him. And at that time, I was reminded that really my heart, my soul, my strength, my life are all in God's hand. So I also pray. I say, "God, I give it back to you. And if you see, if you're willing, you can heal me and let me have enough strength to serve you." Thursday passed, nothing. I improved a little bit, still could not get off the bed. Friday in the afternoon, very tightly, gingerly, I got off the bed. Tightly, I went to lead that worship at night on Friday. As I pray with my team before we go, tears stream down my face. For I know my life is in him. My hope, my strength is in him. Only by him can I serve. Brothers and sisters, this is the second action of worship. Now, one small decision, one small action can change our life, can change our direction. Really, life is really not in our hand. So let's come to the Lord. Let's come back to the Lord. Acknowledge that he is the great God. Acknowledge that he is the maker and we are the creator. He is the God and we are his people. He is the king. He is the shepherd and we are the flock under his care. To worship is to sing for joy, praises the Lord. To worship is to come to him in reverence. And in the second half of verse 7, the psalmist gives the third invitation. He said, "Today, if you hear his voice," verse 7 and the second half, "today, if you hear his voice, come, let us hear his voice today." And then from verse 8 to verse 11, he gave a part of the Israelites' history. Let me read for you. He said, "Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your father tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, 'They are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways.' For I declared on oath in my anger, 'They shall never enter my rest.'" Here, it talks about the history of Israelites when they were coming out from Egypt. During that time, they have that exodus from Egypt, and then they enter the promised land. I believe there is not another time in history that the actions, the miracles, the signs and wonders of the Lord is so evident before people's eyes. When they were in Egypt, there were 10 plagues, but Israelites were not hurt one bit by the 10 plagues. And as they left Egypt, they come upon the Red Sea. There were no more road to travel. And behind them, there were the Egyptian army. And Moses raised his staff, and the Red Sea opened, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. On dry land. And for 40 years, God was with them. When they were hungry, there were manna coming from heaven. When they were thirsty, there was water coming from the rock. And in the morning, there is the pillar of cloud covering them. In the evening, there were pillar of fire protecting them. God's signs and wonder, God's protection, God's presence was so evident around them. But yet, the Israelites hardened their heart. The Israelites did not hear his voice. Can they see the signs and wonders? In verse 9, he say, "Though they had seen what I did." Yes, they have seen what God did. But do they know God's way? Do they believe God's way? In verse 10, he say, "Their hearts go astray." And they have seen, but they do not know. They have not known God's ways. They have seen it, but yet in their heart, they have not believed in the God of the wonders, in the God of the miracles. That's why God was so angry with them. Because at the places of Meribah and Massa, they tested and tried the Lord. At that places, when they were thirsty and there were no water, they complain. Instead of going to the God that has helped them all this time, they complain and they said they want to stone Moses. Do you know why God was so angry? Because they complain. Was God really among us? Is God really among us? Is there a God? This is how they complain. I'm sure when they say, "Is there a God?" the pillar of cloud were right above them, covering them. When they were saying, "Is there a God?" the manna that they ate in the morning was still, maybe still in the mouth, still in the stomach. But is there a God? They ask. They have hardened their heart. They have seen God's glory. They have seen God's work. But they have not believed. Today, the call to us is the same. Have we seen God's glory? Have we seen God's work in our life? The fact that we have life and breath, we should not take it for granted. The fact that we have this wonderful church that we can come and worship, don't take it for granted. It is God's action among us. The fact that we have energy and strength to serve Him, to work, it is God. So do not harden your heart. Hear His voice and know His ways and believe Him. Believe Him. For unless one have faith, we cannot please God. So today we come and worship and we sing to the Lord. We sing that He is our Savior, our God. We sing that He loves us with an everlasting love. We sing that He gives us emancipation and freedom. But tomorrow, when you go to work and find out that they have fired you, can you still believe God loves you and He will help you through all the difficulties that you will face? Tomorrow, if you find out you have some problem with your health, if you find out where your loved one has a terminal disease, can you say God would help us and His grace is sufficient for me? Tomorrow, if your children go astray, can you still believe God has a wonderful plan for their life? But what about today? What about today? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear His voice, come before Him and trust Him and believe Him. At this time, I would like to give us a moment of quietness. Let's come before Him and hear His voice. Let's come before Him and hear His words, for He wants us to believe Him. Do not harden your heart. Do not be a people that hearts have gone astray. Let's come before the Lord and be quiet. God is with us. His presence is here. So do not harden our hearts. Do not see and not believe. Do not doubt. Our God is good. Our God has a plan for us. Our God loves us, and He lives forever. Maybe some of us is struggling in your career, struggling in your work. Ask God to help you. Listen to His voice of peace. He will give you strength. He will give a way. Maybe some of us are struggling with physical health, struggling with disease, maybe with yourself or maybe with your family member. Today, if you hear His voice, He is the great healer. He will give strength in your soul, and He would use you for His glory, and He will walk with you every step of the way. Maybe some of us are struggling in our studies. Come and hear His voice. He's your helper, your refuge. If some of us are struggling in interpersonal relationships, maybe you need to forgive someone that offended you and hurt you very deeply. You know what you should do, but you cannot find strength in you to do it. Let God be your helper. Hear His voice. Maybe some of you have already heard God's call for your life. You want to follow Him. You have a little inkling of what He wants you to do, how He wants to use your life. But yet there are so much fears, so much worries. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Come before Him, and He will help you. Let go, return to your Lord. Believe, do not rely on yourself. Today, come before the Lord. Father God, indeed You have spoken to us, and we have heard Your voice. And we pray that You would give us strength to believe. You would give us faith to believe. And in all the days of our life, we acknowledge You are our God. And we will obey Your words, and we will submit to Your purpose for our lives. Whether it's good days or bad days, whether it's light or darkness, we believe You are walking with us every step of the way. With our heads still bowing, I would like to give an invitation today. Maybe some of us, it's the first time you heard of this God that loves you so much. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Jesus Christ died for your sin on the cross, and He wants you to come to Him and put your trust in Him. He will walk with you all the days of our lives through all aspects of life. I want to give you an invitation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you put your trust in the Lord. And if there is someone that wants to make a decision for Jesus Christ, to believe Him, to bring Him into your heart, I want you to just stand up where you are. Stand up where you are. I would like to invite you to put your trust in the Lord. Is there someone among us that you have heard God's voice and you want to come before Him? Is there someone? God is waiting. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to put your trust in Him. Is there someone among us? I want to ask one more time. Just stand up where you are, and I want to pray for you. I want to rejoice for you. For God loves you, and He waits for you to make a decision to follow Him and to enter this relationship with Him. Is there someone? Please rise and just stand where you are. And we want to pray for you, and we want to walk with you until you mature in the full stature of Christ. Is there someone among us who want to come before the Lord and make a decision to believe Him? Continue to pray. Father, we know Your word will not go out in void, and You will accomplish Your purpose. And I pray that You will continue to cause Your word to grow among us, that we may know You. Thank You for this time, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's come and sing a response song. Let every generation